Dungeons and Crusaders, you are now listening to Vox Arcana, a production of Hollow Street Media. By the will of the immortal Emperor of Mankind, it has been decreed that the following broadcast of Vox Arcana may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed on this Voxcast are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of this station, website, or any affiliated partner. Audience discretion is advised.
Attention on the battle fleet. This is Captain Ramaskos of the Imperial Star Cruiser Vox Arcona. Please listen carefully to the following announcement.
In accordance with the Codex Astartes, we hope that you have a productive trip to Arcona and arrive with the will to deliver the Emperor's judgment. Thank you.
Greetings, Crusaders. Welcome to Vox Arcona Mission 19, recording on Sunday, September 28th, 2015. And coming to you from the Battlefleet Charon in their Segmentum Obscurus. Oh, God. Be quiet over there. Wouldn't you... Listeners, I am Gigabyte, and that noise you can hear in the background is Kalsu. Would you shut up? Alright, come here.
Oh my god, you're right, that bag is nasty.
Yeah,
oh my god.
It's not nice, is it?
The NDA bag is not cool. I'm sorry I did that to you, man. Can we be buddies now?
I suppose.
Can we go shoot people in Founder Access and then not tell people about it?
Yes, let's.
Yay!
So yes, Katsu is out of the bag.
Whoa. Up, Katsu's out of the bag. Can't do nothing now.
How you doing, man?
Not too bad. Self?
I am doing good. We've got a lot to talk about and a lot to not talk about, and more to the point, we had some communication with the Eternal Crusade team, and I have sort of rediscovered my love for 40K, the miniatures game. We'll cover that. Talk about that later.
Indiddly-do.
So, what you been doing this week?
Not much, to be honest. I've had a lot going on at work. Other than that, killing some heretics and catching up on World of Warcraft quests.
Yeah, I know for me personally, I worked most of the mornings and all, and then come home, and at that point I shot heretics, and I was heretics, and I have my favorite class now, and I'm super psyched about it. But I can't talk about it right now. But the cool thing is, like, I've been really digging Alpha, and then I'll play until I can't really talk about it because it goes into talking about Alpha, but like I'll play until I can't provide any more useful feedback for the Alpha team, and then I will bounce out. And I've been playing a lot of Lord of the Rings Online, been introducing my stepkids to that, and generally kicking back and listening to podcasts and diversifying my nerddom and just a bunch of other stuff like that there.
Very awesome.
So, as you know, Founder Access began last week. We talked about it, you were in. So it was like 2 weeks ago. It started up, and then you got in, and now I'm in. In fact, all captains are officially on board and with their invitations into closed alpha. In Founders Alpha, if you have not received an email, go check your founder sheet. If there is a Steam key, go put that Steam key into Steam and download thing. We need more people to shoot at. Which is weird to say because of things, but like, oh my gosh, like I can't imagine more war happening. I just can't.
Oh yeah.
But also, not only have all captains been officially on board, Nathan said that sergeants should start receiving their access in October and warriors should start receiving their access in November. In addition to that, if you buy a captain pack now or you upgrade to a captain pack, you are in immediately. You will go straight into the fight. So my recommendation, if you're hemming and hawing about this, without giving too much away, and for, you know, we'll talk about that later, but without giving too much away, like, oh my gosh, trust me, hand the behavior team the difference to bring yourself up to a captain pack and get in here. And that's all I can really say. In fact, I might not have even been able to say that, but that's okay, because I'm a bigger fan of getting forgiveness than permission. But anyway, I was talking to Brent and Katie and Nathan on Twitter earlier today, and I said, hey, we're about to record, is there anything you want to talk about? And Katie and I bounced back and forth the idea about getting people in for the interviews, but Brent specifically said, hey, Alpha has exceeded our expectations. Once we cleared a hiccup that prevented the build from going out this week, and they talked about that in Into the Warp, he said that I think people are going to love the additions we're making to the build. Nathan, of course, muttered and swore and then threatened to kill people, which is what he does. So it's fine. It's good. I threatened to punch him in the face. So it's fair that he threatens to punch me in the face. It works out. Actually, he didn't say anything to me yet. But I'm pretty sure that at some point a fist punch will happen. But then I'll buy him a beer and it will be good.
Oh,
anyway,
no doubt.
So. Also, State of the Crusade 8 came out. There was some good stuff. Most of it was rehash, but there were two paragraphs that we wanted to share with you. And Gig, could you go ahead and just run down what those said?
Yeah. So the first one was quote: "There is more to come. We aim to update every week. This will range from balance and combat to this general improvements, steam features, and weapon and items." To new weapons, maps, new game modes, new features, and even a fortress or two, or maybe two. And it's all being molded with founder feedback. Oh, I love that statement. And the second one is, this will also bring us to adding the quote-unquote massive online systems, one step at a time. The thing which will affect the shooter directly. Think of things like small iterations of our character progression, your personal loadouts, variations of weapons, the weapons you buy on the Rogue Trader store, the Warlord and his battlefield powers. This affects the shooter.
Nice. The rest of the State of the Crusade, first off, we recommend you read every State of the Crusade, even though a lot of it gets rehashed and Into the Warp. If you're not an audio guy, you're more of a visual guy, read the State of the Crusade letters. They get mailed to you, they get put on the website, you might as well read them. We get a lot of our information from there. We get a lot of our information from Into the Warp, but the State of the Crusade really drops some more detail in, and it gives them a chance to write without having to be under a time limit. You know what I'm saying? So
there's always a nice little nugget or two in there.
Right. So we definitely recommend reading the State of the Crusade for a little more information. Something may jump out to you that didn't particularly seem relevant to us. Because it's something that we may have already covered or whatnot. But hey, you know what? You go ahead, pull what information you want out of it. Pull what information is there out of it. Don't go reading into it. We figure you're smart enough to not do that kind of crap. So anyway, as Into the Warp was going on, there was a notification from the programming team that there will be a build update coming this Monday. It will bring the power axes into the game. Yay. And it will also make some changes to the Promethium Refinery map, which... There are things about the Promethium Refinery map that I have things to say about. So there you go.
But you can't say. So do you want to go back in the bag?
But I can't say. No, I don't like the bag. Bad medicine. Anyway, which of course we can't cover a lot of stuff because we're kind of hampered under the NDA. Someone, however, who is not hampered under the NDA, other than the behavior team, is Angry Joe. And you guys know this. I love Angry Joe. I don't like the fact that he's got the NDA lifted and we don't. But Angry Joe has the NDA lifted, so go to his Twitch channel. He's got about an hour and a half already recorded of gameplay. Some of it's pretty good, some of it's not. He didn't exactly have the best kill-death ratio, you know, when it was going on. But I know that, you know, there are other members of the Angry Army who are operating under Angry Joe's media credentials or whatnot, and they did significantly better than Joe did. Mm. But that's beside the point. but yeah, twitch.tv/AngryJoeShow. And like I said, he's got about an hour and a half recorded up there. Kind of had to pick and choose, but you should be able to see the videos that he's done stuff in. Let's see. Oh, End of the Warp. End of the Warp. We had a huge End of the Warp. And unfortunately, with you know, Gig, you were kind of swamped under and couldn't really get to watch it. Is that right?
Yeah, completely swamped under by work.
Okay, so to give you an idea, quick rundown of the production update. Plasma! Oh my gosh, Plasma. The cannon and the gun have been testing in-house this week. Yes. Okay, first off, it shoots like a regular gun. It fires like a ball projectile. Pretty neat. Slower than a plasma gun, but not as fast as slower than a heavy bolter, but faster than a last cannon blast, which makes sense. Also, you can hold the fire button to charge it up, very similar to Space Marine. What is not similar to Space, and it will go through two varieties. It'll go through a low power time heat up, and then it'll go into a high power heat up. You hold it for too long, it explodes and damages you. The gun still shoots, and you'll still be able to shoot with the gun, but it'll damage you. And in the End of the Warp, firing the plasma cannon completely stripped off the armor field kind of around you. I didn't see that it did any health damage, but it completely ripped your armor off, which makes sense because it's an armor save in the tabletop game that determines whether or not you get screwed by plasma. The other thing is, it actually does arcing fire. It fires sort of like a grenade launcher does in other games, where you kind of you see the trajectory and you can kind of bounce what you're, you know, where you're trying to hit with that. Also, the low power charge blast will create a smaller AoE, whereas the high power charge blast will create a bigger AoE. And that's sort of for flushing out cover and for doing, you know, the other kind of things. They said how it'll apply in the larger game is going to really depend on what happens whenever the founders get it. So, the defense map, also known as the indoor map, it will be in closed alpha this coming week, should be. And it's a more interior than the Promethium refinery. It's the map that they did a lot of the End of the Warps on. That's all like mostly internal and lots of terrain and lots of indoor fighting, which will be interesting to see how that plays.
Fun times.
Mm-hmm. Going back to the plasma, you know, do you have any thoughts on that? Because you said you did see some of that.
Yeah, I caught that at the beginning of the stream, and oh, I can't wait.
Right.
Should be fun to play with.
Yes. Then, of course, the Meet the Developers segment was Ghislaine, the art director, who showed us updated Assault and Raptor packs, updated Last Cannon and Power Pack, updated Heavy Bolters, Imperial and Chaos, also updated Last Cannon Chaos that has been added. It's got the dragon head on the end of it, and, you know, it's all chaosy. Obviously, the power weapons and the pack, or the plasma weapons and the pack, they have updated the skin on the power sword, and they've been doing initial pass work on the plasma gun itself. They also showcased weapon customizations for example, say you don't want the skull on the side of your bolt gun, say you want the Aquila, or you want the, what they call the Imperialis, or they want, or you want your chapter symbol, and they showed mock-ups of what those would look like with different paint color schemes and things like that. The Space Wolf one they showed was a bolt gun with a gray, on the casing with three diamonds, three of those red diamonds, kind of Space Wolfy. Blood Angels, they showed it two different ways. They showed it red with the black wings, and they showed it black with the just straight black, I think. I don't think they showed the white wings on it or the red wings.
No, it's got like little blood drop on it.
Yeah. So they the Blood Angels, they did two different ways. The Dark Angels, they didn't really show how the Dark Angels would work other than the green casing with the Dark Angel logo, but I figure on the last one that they have, they'll have like the sword with the wing and stuff like that. Oh, that's the Raven Wing, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Whichever. They're Dark Angels. I won't be playing them anyway. So they're not Ultras. They're not Imperial Fists. I don't care. Anyway, says the guy who started 40K playing Blood Angels, but whatever.
Nice.
Representing God marks on the models. Clearly, obviously, this isn't going to, you know, the God marks aren't going to play an effect until later on, but being as the mark of a particular patron demon would, you know, change how you look, that is something that's moved kind of into the middle of the customization queue, even if there's not a mechanical benefit for marking your character yet, because there shouldn't be yet. We're trying to figure out how one psyker works. We don't need, you know, crazy ridiculousness. Something I liked, though, was Nathan talked about the founder access survey, which if you're a captain level member, you also recently received a survey in your email. Go take it. 1,400 players were surveyed on a 1-7 scale. Of the people that responded, no one responded below a 5. On any of the categories that were being... nothing ended up with an average below 5.
Presented.
Say again?
Nothing that being presented, I just suggested.
So the lowest score... they said the lowest score was combat balance, which Nathan says is expected, and that's why so many founders are in the alpha, so we can kind of fine-tune things. They knew everything wouldn't be rated well, but this is kind of a thermometer of how they've been doing so far. This is sort of weird because obviously the people who are in Founder Access, obviously you're going to have some objective reviewers, but some of these people are just going to be like, oh my God, it's better than Space Marine, and we're playing the game. That's what we're doing. Oh God. You know? And so there's sort of some rosy colored glasses there too. But to be honest, with everything, you know, with of all of the areas they reviewed, everything ends up on the high side of average, which for being, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks into launch, you know, that's not launch, but 2-3 weeks into an alpha, like, it's really, really good to be that close to the mark. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, totally.
Yeah. So they stated that two patches should be incoming this week. Clearly, there was the Monday. And then they said there might be another one later on that'll add the defensive map and some other things. Maybe the plasma cannon, which the cannon will come in before the gun, Brent said. Which makes sense to a degree. Yeah. I mean, it's the cannon is going to be the iconic harder one to nail down. Plasma guns are useful, but I'm still going to want to shoot people with a bolter. they mentioned also that PvE is coming really soon. They've already, in the developer server, they've already seen Tyranids mauling through Marines and Marines mauling through Tyranids, and so it should only be a little bit of time before we start seeing the bugs. So that's always a good thing. Then we move to gameplay, obviously. Brent decided it was a great idea to block Predator rounds with his back, which was, I think, a little ambitious of him. I appreciated this. And Katie was just a master. It was ridiculous. Either that or she was just... Katie was going around in one of the patches of Chaos troops that were moving around the fight. Imagine that. Katie was Chaos. and she was gunning down most of the people she ran across and then dead checking the ones that were left behind by her team. So it was just like, oh my god, I like, on the one hand I want to fight her, on the other hand I don't want her anywhere near me, you know, because she'll kill me and then dead check me, and that's not cool. They stated that they're about to put in some new call-outs, some new quick communications, as well as trying to get Steam Chat incoming within the next week or so. Next 2 weeks or so, rather.
That's good.
Yes. And the reason it's good is because one of the problems that was having is there needs to be a way to call out for help. Because Brent was bleeding out and hiding behind a predator he rolled up to a point. There was an apothecary inside the predator shooting, and he could have hopped out and popped Brent back up and got him back up and fighting again, but there was no way to notify the apothecary that he was bleeding out behind the tank. So as a result, Brent bled out, and it was not cool. But I think there needs to be a way, you know, even just the call-outs, because I know in planet side, you know, if you're an engineer and you're laying down an ammunition pack, when you lay down the ammunition pack, your character yells out ammo here. And when you're, you know, really hurting, you can hit a quick key and it's like, I need a medic. You know what I'm saying? Another fun thing that occurs is when the medic starts healing you, your medic character plays a sound that's like, hey, stay still, I'll patch you up. You know what I'm saying? Or look sharp, I'll patch you up. Something like that.
Yeah.
That way, even though you can't hit the quick key, like the moment you start doing it, your character's notifying the other character that something's going on. So call outs and quick communication back and forth is going to be something very awesome. Then we got down to the Q&A. There are some good questions here. And some repetitious questions. First off, somebody asked if there was going to be 16v16 ladder play. They said that it's something that they're interested in maybe doing, but 16v16 ranked ladder, that's all esports stuff, and that's stuff that if we're staying on a map camp, if we're staying on the way that the game is built right now, it would make a lot more sense to put in. But as we're going to talk later with matchmaking, what we're doing right now is, and we've seen it in the show, so I feel comfortable talking about it to a degree. What we're seeing now is getting the shooter element of the game correct. I don't know if you feel this way, but it's getting the shooter element of the game correct.
Yeah, that's what that keeps
once we out, get the it? Shooter, yeah, once we get the shooter down. Then we're going to tear out all of this artificial matchmaking, team v team comp, and we're going to put in what Brent and other people are referring to as the strategic layer, where we talked about that a couple of weeks ago on the show, where, you know, two warlords say, I want to fight in this zone, and then people kind of flock to those fights, and then we go from there. But right now, what they're trying to do is they're just trying to put bodies on red team and bodies on blue team and have you guys fight in a box canyon so that ultimately blue will be defeated because the blues will lose to the greatness of red team. Anyway. What?
Yeah, right, Sarge.
That's right. And then we will play griff ball, wherein we will shoot a griff-sized object through a griff-sized hole. Anyway.
I think there does need to be some interesting... mini games like Griff Ball Eternal Crusade.
I'm gonna tell you what, dude. The moment I can figure out, like, I wish there's part of me that wishes that I was good with machinima, so that I could then, as soon as I get permission to do so, start doing machinima of Eternal Crusade. Like, what? There's a traitor. Shoot him. But sorry, that's not a traitor. That's a blood angel. No, clearly it's a word bearer. Shoot him. No! You know? I want to do that.
Nice.
Anyway. So 16v16, they said that the thing, though, is that 16v16, as much as they want to put it in, is kind of a thing of for eSport, and this is not... They're shooting for MMO FPS. They're not shooting for eSport. So, which makes me happy, because for the love of God, want some game to not be about eSport. Like, it's part of why I love my stepkids playing... playing Little Big Planet. There's not really a lot of eSport there. You know? It's like, we'll play Rocket League later, but right now, no eSport. You know? Question came up about Chaos Demons. Will there be Chaos Demons? Brent said that, first off, he loves Chaos Demons. They are his favorite tabletop army. And that while Chaos Space Marines exist, and heroes may have certain degrees of demonic influence, that demons themselves will probably not even be considered until after the at least until after the Marked Legions are added. So you will not be seeing Bloodletters until you see Berserkers. You won't see Screamers until you see Sorcerers. And Thousand Suns, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the other question is, will there be Mechanicus? Nathan jumped on this one, and he said no. Right now, it is Core 4. It is the Core 4. Imperial Marines, Chaos Marines, Eldar, and Orcs. He said that a year after launch, they might... add in the Tau or the Necrons, because those seem to be the fan favorites for playable. Any other Imperial factions would probably be more of an all-in-one option, like just an Imperium thing, or you'll be dealing with this as a PvE option in the same way that Tyranids will be. So, like, instead of Tyranids taking a facility, there may be abandoned structure that gets re-garrisoned by guardsmen or whatever. You know, whatever.
To be honest, I'm quite surprised that they're talking about the Necrons as a playable race, because the Necrons are basically the mechanical version of Tyranids.
Well, no, you know? Yes and no, because the thing is this, and this goes into tabletop Warhammer. So just smile and nod if you're an EC fan that's not a tabletop Warhammer fan. Necrons, they exist in a... Well, it depends. If you're looking at the old Necrons, like pre-characters, or if you're looking at the current Necrons that have characters. Basically, the question is, are the Satan gods, or are the Satans fragments of gods? That's the question you have. That's the question.
That's true.
Because in the current fluff, the Satan are fragments of gods, and all of the Tomb Lords are actually significantly more intelligent, and they have reasons for doing things. Plus, it's sort of given Games Workshop canon that every world in the entire galaxy could potentially be a Necron Tomb world that we just don't know about.
It's true.
Like Mars. Anyway.
Very true.
But the thing is this, though. Necrons, the other thing is... when they did that whole shift and, like, they killed the gods and the Necrons kind of began to have personalities. The way that it works is, obviously, your warriors are not... your warriors don't really have personalities. They're just sort of mindless kill husks. But as you begin to climb the hierarchy, as you get into, like, the Triptych Guard and the lords and everything else like that, you begin... The individual Necron ends up developing certain quirks of its personality, to the point where, like, the lords and the upper echelon of the Necrons, it's been a while since I've had the army, but the upper echelons of the Necrons have fully developed quote-unquote humanoid personalities, to the point where one of them plays games with an Inquisitor by sending it, by sending them a Tesseract cube and all this other stuff. So, and in terms of gameplay-wise... Warriors fill up, 20 men per unit on a board or something like that?
Yeah, that's right.
So 20 men per unit, and they get the gets back up thing, and so they fill approximately the same role as Space Marines.
Especially since, hell, at this point, it looks like there's, what, 32 on a, you know, 32 in a squad, which isn't Codex at all. But whatever. Anyway, like I said, the other thing I, you know, they were talking about Imperial factions all being kind of an all-in-one option or a PvE option. Personally, I think they'd be a better PvE option. Because, like, the all-in-one option, like, you're not going to have Skitarii Rangers and Guardsmen. Because that's the other thing. A lot of people want Guardsmen for the same reason you want Tyranids, you know? Like, yeah, I want to have just gigantic swaths of troops, but I don't want to actually pay the money for them in the miniature game, you know?
Play as an Imperial Guard.
Yeah, but that's the problem. People like the idea of the guard, but they don't want to play it. Nobody wants to play as the guard. You think you might want to play as the guard, but there's only one.
As soon
one...
as it gets in there and you give it a go, you're like,
ugh. Right. Well, here's the deal. There's only one Schaefer's Last Chancers. There's only one Tanith First and Only, and you ain't them. You know?
It's true.
And that's the problem is with a strictly IG army. Every character would have to, every player who plays an IG would have to be somebody, quote unquote somebody. You know what I'm saying? And the entire concept of the guard is we are just going to throw planetary populations at a problem to drown it in numbers and dice rolls. You know, so they're kind of antithetical to the
is
idea.
Is the planet one yet? No, sir. Keep throwing bodies at it.
So it's sort of antithetical to the entire concept of Eternal Crusade, wherein you're sending out the best of the best of the best, oorah, with honors, you know?
Yep.
Somebody asked, being as Marines and their, quote, copy-paste counterparts are, quote-unquote, done, when can we see more factions? Nathan, like, was quick to take umbrage with this. He was like, no, and Space Marines and Chaos Space Marines are close design-wise, but they're nowhere near copy-paste. Even the difference between your apothecaries versus your aspiring sorcerers. Yes, I understand they use bolt weapons. Yes, I understand they use, you know, all these other things that the Imperium uses. But that's because at one point they were Imperial, you know? And while some things have changed, not everything has changed. You know, if the bolt gun has worked for literally what the bolt gun has been around since the beginning of the Crusade. So the bolt gun has worked for damn near 20,000 years. There is not a single military weapon in current use that has worked consistently for 20,000 years. I mean, like, I get that a sword. Uh-huh. I mean, like, a sword might. Or no. The club. A rock. Those things have been around for 20,000 years and are still tactically viable, I guess. But, like, the bolt gun has been around for 20,000 years, and clearly it works. So the Chaos Marines aren't going to just leave and go, well, since we're no longer Imperial anymore, let's throw this piece of shit away. They're not going to do that. You know?
No. I mean, the Chaos Space Marines are less copy-paste as they are a dark reflection, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, I get that. Well, I mean, I get where they say copy-paste, because to be absolutely honest, in terms of tabletop, like, I remember I told a story a while back about my first Chaos army was actually a Blood Angel army that I did a really sloppy repaint on. And because the models work. I get where they say that, but the other thing is this. What makes Chaos different than the Imperial Marines are the Marks, which aren't in game yet, the Aspiring Sorcerer, which has started to come into game, and their ability to play with demons and the warp and, you know, just their general look. So I have a feeling that, like, once flame weapons enter the game, I have a feeling that you're going to be dealing with warp fire versus Prometheum. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I have a feeling that once we start seeing Berserkers, and once we start seeing Sorcerers and Thousand Suns, and once we start seeing, you know, once we start seeing the details go into these guys, we're going to start seeing a much more profound flavor difference between the two of them. But right now, the objective is to shoot. And until we get the bolter, you know, we talked about this. Oh, I don't remember when we talked about this, but the fact is Marines, Space Marines, have always been 4444-14159. Or 141...
That's right.
1419. I'd look up my codex, but it's 4444-1419. And they've always been that way, and they are the bar that GW, back when it cared about its game, they are the bar that set... You know, okay, these guys are better than Marines, these guys are worse than Marines, but ultimately it all comes back to being a Marine. So the thing
the
is...
The Marines are your average...
Right. You know, they are benchmark. Good at everything. Well, the thing is this, they are good at everything. Not great at everything, but they're good at everything. And once we tune that baseline, you know, once we tune that performance benchmark, we can say, okay, orcs are worse at shooting, but they're better at... They're more brutal in close combat. Okay, well, Eldar are, you know, not as healthy, but they're this. But everything compares to Marines. In fact, even if you go to your friendly local hood game store, you don't go to no upscale game store. You go to the hood game store. They hold their miniatures sideways.
The Warhammer stores
they roll
in the
their
hood
dice. They roll their dice sideways. It does more damage that way. You know?
It's a kill shot, yeah.
It's a kill shot. Bam! You ain't got nothing. Anyway, but what I'm saying is, if you go to your friendly neighborhood game store on a 40K night, you know, wow, my brain just... you're going to hear discussion. You're going to hear discussion about... I was so into the hood. I want to find a hood game store now. I want to go see what those guys do. I want to be where the people are. At any rate, so you go into your friendly neighborhood game store on a GW night, on a Games Workshop night, and you listen to them talk and compare models. They will ultimately, most of the time, unless there is a predominant flavor or local meta, you will find that everybody compares what they're talking about to a Space Marine model, because it's the baseline. So anyway, question. Oh. Changing topics a little bit. Question came about group play. Specifically, can you create a squad and then join the game all as one squad? Which is smart because you've got a handful of units that have already formed. You've got Vigilia Mortis. You've got Task Force Ultra. You've got who are the orc guys? There's orcs. There's an orc group. There's an orc group that started, and I don't remember the name right offhand. But, you know, we get...
And there are Elder groups. And there's...
I think there's an Eldar group. I don't know. And there's Chaos, but they don't matter anyway. Because after all, they're just cookie-cutter Marines, right? Anyway, they're copy-pasted. But the thing is this. Like, I know with VM, we like the idea of getting all of our guys who are in Alpha and able to play. We get together in TeamSpeak... And we're like, yeah, let's play Eternal Crusade. And sometimes we end up on the same team. And sometimes we don't end up on the same team. And it's chaotic and erratic. Nathan and Brent said that they're looking at maybe about 2 weeks out starting to put in things similar to that, but not currently anything yet. And also, once the strategic layer starts coming in, you'll be able to do things like... see what every person is playing class wise, and you'll be able to move them into squads, and which makes sense because for the love of God, I either want a tactical configuration, you know what I'm saying, where it's like, okay, well, we've got, you know, four in a say you've got a 10 man comp, you know, a 10 man squad, so we're gonna have say five tacticals, two assaults, two you know, five tacticals, two devs, an assault, and two apothecaries. Or, you know, something like that. You get to mix around team comp a little bit. Or you're just like, no, we're putting all of our tacticals into one squad, which I think is dumb. But the thing is, you've got the guys that are going to become the factional warlords who are really going to get a better idea about tuning, about squad comp and things like that. Somebody complained about matchmaking, which is what we, as we said before, of course, they have openly admitted matchmaking is super simplistic right now, and it is currently only used for the alpha itself. The live game will involve the strategic layer instead for game designing, team comp, things like that. And at that point, matchmaking will disappear. But they don't want to... Brent said this, they don't want to go too in-depth with the matchmaking system, because the problem is with matchmaking and with some of the shooter, some of the map-based shooter elements that are currently in the game, the further entrenched those features become, the harder they're going to be to pull them out whenever it's time to deploy the strategic layer.
Mm.
And that's what they've, that's what they've been really concerned about focusing in on. So if you are in alpha and if you are talking about the matchmaking that was mentioned into the warp, it's piecemeal. It's designed as a holding measure until the strategic layer can come in and give us a more well-rounded idea about what we're about, what we're dealing with and what we're facing. Finally, somebody asked what the next steps were in the Eternal Crusade timeline, what the roadmap looked like. Nathan said that over the course of the next 3 months, the focus is going to be on characterization, like making your character look more individualistic, which I'm really happy for. I want different horns on my word bearer. I want my ultramarine to be wearing yellow armor soon. But also being able to vary your loadout. Also, some of the things that you've bought in the Rogue Trader store, they want to let you wear now. Say again.
No, I was just chiming in with that. The Rogue Trader stuff there.
Oh yeah, I love man. I really like a lot of the Rogue Trader stuff. I hope that we get to see more of it or do more with it or whatever. Also, adding in the Warlord and starting with some very easy powers, some easier to implement powers, as well as obviously more maps, more game modes. They said they want to drop the defense map. They want to drop the defense map in the game. They want to do another Promethium refinery map, and then they want to deploy a fortress. That's not set in stone, but it's kind of what's going on. Let us see. And that is all of Eternal Crusade stuff for the week. In addition to that, as you know, we also touch base on the wider 40K universe. And I don't know whether you got some of these, but most of these came in as emails to me. But there are new Grey Knight models inbound.
New Grey Knights, yeah.
Now, the thing is this. They are not new Grey Knight units, but they are new models, new plastic kits and things like that. Which I am, as a former Grey Knight player, two times over. I like the Grey Knights. I recently had a Grey Knight army until I got rid of it rather forcibly. And even then, I kept my Inquisitors and my retinue and stuff like that. I just got rid of the Grey Knights. So it'll be interesting to see new models. Clearly, that's more from a miniature modeling perspective and not so much from a gameplay. They still haven't done anything new for the game, which, to be honest, they're, the current edition of the rules is still relatively young. And they haven't really been so hot on updating the rules recently. So other models that got added, Forge World just announced the Legion Centurion model, which it looked kind of rough. It looked kind of old. First and second edition 40K old. Not that the armor was old, because of course he's a centurion. Of course his armor looks old. But I mean, like, the model, if you look at the picture of the model, it looks kind of like the old Metal Marines. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to look at it at all?
I think I may have seen it during the week. Someone at work, I think, mentioned it. Have you got a link to that, by the way? Let's see if I'm thinking of the same thing.
Trying to find it. Forgeworld.co.uk.
Forge World.
Hold, please.
Oh, bloody hell.
What? Oh, here he is.
Yeah.
There we go.
Cool. Thank you all. Oh, yes, it's the same one,
It just... his face looks like he got hit in the head with a frying pan. Like, the entire... Here's the deal. Like, there are some people that got hit with the ugly stick. There are some people that got hit with the entire ugly tree. This dude looks like he just got smacked in the jaw with the entire ugly forest. Like, he ugly. Like, there's not even... There's nothing you can do with that. He's just ugly. Actually, what's...
I do love the fact that he's painted up in ultimate.
Actually, what's really cool is if you look at the other... there are the other pictures.
Mm.
There are... After the first one, there's a... After the first four pictures, five pictures, there's a front and back of a word bearer.
Uh-huh.
And then... Or, I'm sorry, those are the Imperial Heralds. Or the word bearers, whichever. No, those are the Imperial Heralds, because it's the book with the flame.
Yeah.
And then there's a Death Guard. He looks cool. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, even the thing is this. Like, we're sitting here saying, like, oh my god, that dude looked ugly. He got hit by the ugly forest. But, like, even if you look at the bear model with no paint on it, he's still ugly. Like, yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, that dude is... He ain't got no alibi. He ugly. Like, oh my gosh. And for 20 pounds, which breaks down to roughly $20 US, like, I'm not interested in that one model, you know? Like, unless he does something really awesome.
It does look like someone sculpted that and then went to their mate, look what I did to this guy.
Why? Well, I mean, the thing is this. Like, I can see this. The entire idea of a Legion Centurion... was it the Legion Centurions end up being, like, company captains or something in the in the reorganization? So these guys have had centuries of service underneath them. So I'm not gonna hate on him too much, because he is a badass. But at the same time, he ugly.
He ugly, man.
But speaking of people that are ugly, but, like, oh my gosh... Scarbrand has gotten a new model, and Scarbrand, for those of you that don't know, is a Khorne, is a greater demon of Khorne that was ultimately convinced by
Bloodthirster. Sorry,
he was a bloodthirster, who was convinced by a demon of Zench that it was a good idea to take on Khorne in a fight. And don't get me wrong, at the time Scarbrand was ridiculously powerful. So
but
he takes
ain't
on, Khorne. Yeah, but he ain't Khorne. So he took on Khorne, and Khorne beat the ever-loving crap out of him, and then ripped his and
Khorne
then
went,
threw
what,
him.
Bitch?
What is it? Threw him. This is a fantasy model, right? Scarbrand is a fantasy model.
I think so. Yeah.
But he basically Khorne picked up Scarbrand and threw him to the other side of the world. And in the process, Scarbrand's wings were torn off, and he was literally, like, one side of his face is just ripped away, and everything else. And he is probably one of the most amazing-looking bloodthirsters I have seen, other than the one that's in Warhammer Fantasy Mark of Chaos, the cinematic, where the Sigmarite War Priest fights the bloodthirster. But the cool thing is, Scarbrand is now running through the old world trying to kill enough people that Khorne will take him back. Talk about daddy issues. But the cool thing is, like, he gives preferred enemy, or he gives hatred and, like, hatred and fury or something like that, hatred and frenzy to every model.
Frenzy,
I think in fantasy it's hatred and frenzy, hatred and rage or something like that. To every model, friend and foe, within so many inches of him. So, like, everybody gets to reroll hits and wounds if you're within so many inches of him. Because he just wants carnage. And this looks like an amazing model. Uh-huh. Here's where it ties into 40K. First off, Scarbrand, the model is just amazing looking. Go to the GW site, look it up. Oh my gosh, it's amazing. Even if you don't use him as... In fantasy and Rage of Sigmar armies, Rage of the Emperor. even if you don't use him in fantasy and you decide you do want to use him in 40K, he looks like an amazing bloodthirster model. really highly detailed. That's my recommendation for most GW miniatures nowadays. Don't really look at what brand range they're for. Look at like what you could do with them in a 40K game, especially if your game store is cool with you using variant-ish models. Because here's the deal: Scarbrand is a bloodthirster. Now, he's a fantasy character, but he's still a bloodthirster. So you should be able to use him in a fantasy demon army, or a 40K demon army. 40K demon. Yes, you should definitely be able to use him in a fantasy demon army.
Are you saying don't ask what you can do with your models? Ask what your models can do for you.
Well, here's the deal. This is my take. Like, okay, I'm going to go back to the GW site real quick for reasons.
You know what I love about Scarbrand? It's like, in the 40K universe, it's like that. Yep. That's what Khan would become if he became a demon prince.
Yep. Uh-huh. I love the new demons too. I'm not as happy. I wish they had halberd axes or whatever. But see, that's the other good thing about Chaos. The good thing about Chaos, fantasy or 40K, is that they are effectively interchangeable. Especially the demons, because the demons, you buy them once and you can use them for any army you want. But like, okay, so I'm going to go into 40K. I'm going to go into Age of Sigmar. I'm going to go into GW. I'm going to go into Age of Sigmar. I'm going to go down to Stormcast Eternals. Stormcast Eternals box set. The Celestant Prime, that guy could totally be a Lord choice, like an HQ choice.
Could be an Imperial Saint.
Most of your prosecutors, the prosecutor Celestial with Celestial Hammers, the prosecutor with Stormcall Javelins, they could be Assault Marines, really fancy Assault Marines. Mm-hmm. Your Paladins, Protector, Retributor, Decimator, those guys could be amazing Honor Guard figures. I don't know so much about the Judicators because they've got the bows, but your Liberators, those are Thunder Hammers and Storm Shields. I mean, obviously it's Sigmar, so it's clearly all Thunder Hammers and Storm Shields. But the Lord Castellan, like, that's definitely a badass HQ model.
Oh, yeah.
The Lord Celestin. The Lord Celestin is a power sword and a thunder hammer. Come on. Like, and I'm just going down the list looking right at the first row of models. And that's the good thing. That is the good thing. Like, if you want to make an Imperial Guard army, right? You get a bits bag from one of the random websites around on the internet. You get a random bits bag of 40K guns, and you get, a Bretonian, let's say a Bretonian peasant's box, and some round base model, and some round bases, which if you're a 40K nerd, you should have round base models, or you should have round bases, right?
Definitely.
So the thing is this, like, your peasant bowmen, you could put those guys in with las guns, and they'd make decent feral worlders and primitive imperial worlders that have been conscripted into the guard. Which it's 40K, you can pull from, this is the thing, man, you can pull from anywhere in the 40K universe and it's legal. I mean, there's an imperial world for anything you want to play with. The only thing is, obviously, like, the Hobbit models are at a different scale than other GW models. Mainly for conversion reasons, because Weta and New Line and the guys in charge of the Hobbit game, they wanted to make sure that, or Lord of the Rings game, they wanted to make sure that those models weren't really body swappable with other GW models. But
still didn't stop it making dumb.
Yeah, well, I love that game, so you shut your mouth. Anyway.
Don't get me wrong. I like the models.
Yeah.
And I would really love to be able to create conversions using them. But
But here's another thing. Could you imagine? And this is just me flipping through the GW site, looking at ideas and getting nerdy ideas in my head. Could you imagine using High Elf miniatures in an Eldar army?
Yeah.
Like, well, the helmets almost give it away, but, like, really, a lot of these models could just as easily find themselves, you know, serving some purpose. Like, a High Elf Spearman detachment could very easily find itself as a bunch of Guardians, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And of course, the demons are all very clearly, you know, marked as such. So anyway, Grey Knights, Scarbrand, Legion Champion, Legion Centurion. The other thing is this, I kind of wanted to take a minute because I want to take a minute because of a podcast I found recently. Sorry, give me a second. Okay, I want to take a minute for a podcast I found recently called The Long War. This is, was it Rob Bear, who's in charge of Spiky Bits? He does a podcast with a couple other guys from his local store. And here's the deal. I mean, it's no secret that I have very little love for Games Workshop. But the guys at The Long War, because I've been listening to the last couple of episodes, and they pointed out something that really should have jumped into my attention a long time ago. As much as I don't like the company, like, the hobby and the friendships that I've made as a result of the hobby are really the heart of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we could be playing second and third edition rules so long as everybody digs the hobby and so long as we're all enjoying our, you know, enjoying the company. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that's right.
And they've really been doing a good job at changing my heart and bringing me back to appreciating the hobby, you know, bringing the hobby back, as they say.
And that's the thing about GW is when they used to do the big campaigns and stuff like that in their stores, you used to meet people in there that you never would have met in a normal situation. You know, I've made friends through Game Workshop that I'm still friends with today. I absolutely love my time going into the stores, but it's just a shame they don't care that much about their IP anymore.
Right, and that's the thing. Like, you know, you and I wouldn't be doing a show about Eternal Crusade if we hadn't have found out about 40K somehow, which usually happens with miniatures in the store. You know, I'm still too poor to play, and I really don't have the time. I've got too many other things, and I like my friends here and online more than I like going into game stores nowadays.
But you can bring a new generation into it now, can't you?
What is this, 40K the new generation? No, we don't have enough money for me to build armies, no.
40K TNG.
40K TNG, no. you know, but... Well, the thing is this, GW's stance soured me to GW, to, you know, 40K and The Hobbit and all that, or the Hobbit miniatures game, but it also sort of soured me to miniature gaming to a degree. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was like, okay, well, that door's behind me. I'm going to close that door and just leave it alone. I've got some models laying around, but whatever. But, like, listening to The Long War, listening to the guys over at The Long War, it really kind of, you know, them talking about bringing the hobby back and them talking about, you know, putting aside all of the nonsense about, you know, competitive play and all this other stuff, just getting it back to the hobby and the fun. That's really what we need to be about. Yeah. And that's, like I said, I just wanted to give them a shout out because they deserve it. I'm going to tag them in the Twitter and the Facebook and the Facebook machine and all that other good stuff. So,
yeah, because it's always a good idea to check out the guys doing the 40K the Warhammer podcasts and stuff, because, you know, it shows that you're still interested in the hobby, and when, you know, these podcasts become really popular, GW take notice,
and they will still not talk to their fans. But anyway,
no, but they at least can see that it's popular,
right? And that's the thing, like, you know, I just want to, and I've extended an invitation to the guys from The Long War to, you know, maybe at some point reach out and let's do an interview and let's talk about bringing the hobby back and let's talk about, you know, just enjoying time with your bros and, you know, things like that. So we'll see about that too. So just like I said, I wanted to give them a shout out because they definitely are. It takes a lot to change my opinion about a company like GW or about, you know, just the overall nature of the 40K game as it stands right now. So I just wanted to give them a shout out for that.
Definitely.
Yep. Normally we would go into our data slate, but we've been talking for more than an hour now. So, and also in addition to that, we would also do our devotion of the faithful, our iTunes reviews. Nobody's given us any 1-star reviews, but also nobody's given us any 5-star reviews. So here's the deal. If you listen to us on iTunes, do us a favor, give us a review. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you think you need to change. If you listen to us on Stitcher or on the website or wherever you hear us, do us a favor, jump over to iTunes, crank out a review for us, help us out. As it stands right now, we're looking at maybe here at the end of the month, we're looking at giving away a Space Marine Relic Power Fist in Eternal Crusade, giving away the war gear item so that whenever the Rogue Trader store goes live, you can just use it. For people who have left us a review on the iTunes machine. So definitely look into doing that for us if you would. We would greatly appreciate it. And you know, hey, you know what? I will make up a 5-star review right now. 5 stars. These guys are awesome. And they are also really cool and are also absolutely what the Games Workshop and Eternal Crusade community needs. And that review was written by Not Really a Review on Not Really iTunes. That guy was pretty cool. I think we'll thank him very much for that. So at this point, we've kind of reached the end of our content for the week. We will obviously see you back next week, hopefully with better news and more information and you know, crossing our fingers as to when this NDA will lift so that we can be a little more specific about the things we want to talk about and things we want to cover. So with that, as you know, I am Katsu, he is Gigabyte, we are Vox Arcona, and this is the Thought for the Day. Gig?
You are the Emperor's Chosen. Hear his great anger in the roar of your bolt pistol. See his almighty fury in the blades of your chainsword. Feel his undying strength in the protection of your armor.
The Adeptus Terra thanks you for tuning into tonight's broadcast of Vox Arcona, a production of Holosuite Media. Be sure to check our website, iTunes, or Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered Voxcasts and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Vox Arcona. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to voxarcona@gmail.com. Return next week for yet another communique from the Vox Arcona.